Mr. So Guan V, Room 7.
Mr. So, how did you get the job at the New World as a substitute gambler?
Oh, we used to mix around with friends, and they told us, you know, our friends, which we same kampung boys, you see. So the elder, they are elder than us, you see. They said, hey, you want extra job as a helping hand to this, you know, gambling dens, such as, you know, the gambling stalls, all over, officially, you know, given a license to them to operate in New World, especially like those, you know, elderly people who got nothing to do, they have to pass the time away and make a few dollars or so, maybe a few hundred dollars. During that time, it's not a few dollars. You know, one packet of cigarette will cost you around about $20. Japanese Koa cigarette, you see. So, it's 20 sticks, you see. So, the only way they have to go for is to go for a part-time job. And the part-time job, usually, they don't need any, you know, labor and all this work. They just stand around there, and just stand down there, and they were from 7, you report to the man in charge there, the operator, from 7 o'clock, and say, okay, you stand by, wait. You stand around there. When they start opening the stall, then you just stand around all the stall there, and they start shouting, telo, 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 that's all. And then we just keep on taking their money and punch, you see. We used to stand right in front of the board there, and we put our hands behind our body. Then we put our hand just open out, and somebody put money behind you, and you grab the money and just take out and just start to gamble, as like a gambler itself, you see. And we just try to get as many people who come and punt. That shows that somebody start punting that place, you see. But actually, we are one of their own people.
So you got the job through the recommendation of the
friends and all this, you see. Their friends have brought us along and say, hey, you want extra hand here? These are my friends. They are reliable and can be trusted. See? And that's all. So we are paid only, at that time, only $10 one night. Free drinks, coffee, no supper, nothing. From 7 to 11:30.
Was this a risky or difficult kind of job? What happened if people found out that, oh, you are not the real gambler? Employed by the people.
No, they don't care, because the crowd is so big that they don't care, you see. First we gather the crowd, we make the crowd big, and the crowd's getting bigger and bigger, we just withdraw ourselves, we play until the money is over, finished, then we stand aside, we don't have to play anymore. We just look on and let them play. Until those people, I mean those punters, that the gamblers, if they lose their money, they walk away. Then we join in again to make the crowd more, you see. Looks all the time there. See?
At that time, why did you want to take up the job?
Because as you know, you see, we have nothing to lose but to learn something. We go there and see what they do, and actually we want to know what is going on. So why not get paid and just see there and get free coffee, drinks and all this. And quite good, it's alright.
Can you describe the place at New World?
Now, New World. That's a New World amusement park. They have three. New World, Great World, Happy World. But most popular, I think, New World and Great World. Because it's near town, see? And all the gamblers, they come, I don't know from nowhere. They come by the, you know, by the bags of notes, you know, they come and play. Bags of notes, they bring along and then they play. And sometimes they really make them worry, you know. And there's no such thing as robberies.
But what was the place like at New World?
New World, well lighted and all this. Very well lighted, and then, you know, practically all of the stores, all actually, instead of selling goods, you see, they sell goods like shirts at present now. The New World and Great World and Happy World. The Great World now is no more, but the Great World and the Happy World and the New World at present, they are, you know, the stores, all of them line up, they are selling like clothing, you know, anything like such as toys, all this, you see. That at that time, they don't do it, they don't sell it all because they don't have any. So they open all stores, you know, gambling stores. One board, one long board, and written down 1 to 12. And the six number 6 will be a red number, red number 6. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And they call it the Chabjiki, you see, Chabjiki number, you see. And you punch straight away. And you put a dollar. You get your chances is $10. They pay you $10.
How was the atmosphere like then?
Oh, it's very rowdy and very crowded. Crowded. And if it's rainy night, then in that case nobody will go there, you see. Rainy night, they are all open space and open air.
So it's sort of a store by itself.
Every store, huh? From one store to the other end. You look from this end to the other end, they instead of one store, they're selling, say, things like that. See, instead of saying that, they put stores row by row, and you can gamble and see which store you want to go and play. Everyone is the same. And they have one called the person who in charge there, huh, will sit right in the center. And then they will just fix the number up. And they just put it on the table there, and you just wait, you see. Wait until everybody put a number on the money on the number there. Then the moment they say, okay, hands off, then they open the number up.
How many stores were there in New
York? Oh, more or less about nearly 300-400 stores. 300 to 400 stores, I think. Practically all right. And after that, the other end of the store, there will be like sort of a small restaurant, small eating place, you know, like what we say, you know, they have a sort of a small place for you to eat, like small garden, like you see a small garden, and they get tea garden and all this they used to give.
Besides the one that you described, the Chabjiki, were there any other kind of gambling stores?
This is the most popular one. Mm-hmm. The rest are not popular. This is the most popular. Other than that, they have the ball game, and still nobody wants it. You roll the ball to the, you know, that that's one. They make it in such a way, one ball, and with holes all over, and then there's a certain number. You see, in the number, say 3, 6, 9, 2, 5, 8, 1, 4, 7, and 0, around there. You see, you just roll the ball there, and then when the ball goes into the number there, you take that number 1 to 10. They only pay you $1, they pay you only $9. This one is $1, they pay you $10.
Who were the people who were running these stores?
Oh, practically all those Chinese people. They call it black marketeers and all that, I think. Practically all of them.
All of them local people?
Local people, no Japanese.
In order to enter New World, did you have to pay
admission? They have to pay admission fee, and you get in. The moment you get in, then you see, you report to yourself, to the superior, say there's the clerk there or one of the men. You see, the people say, okay, you're on. Then you say, today if too many people, you say, I'm sorry, you are too late, somebody took your place. We are all freelance, so we are not safe. Just contract so many days. No, if you do come, you get paid. If you don't come, you're not paid. If you go late, they won't pay you. They say sorry. Yeah, other people comes in. Eh? That's why. And they want to keep on changing faces. You see? The people, like you see, they don't mean all the time the same person. Today you go there, tomorrow you go there, the other store, and the other will go the other store. They push you around and there. They mean the operator, they have got so many stores, eh? That's why you see, they don't want you to go to the same store, they know.
The people who are running the stores, did you know whether they were working in the daytime?
I never asked them, because it is, you know, Chinese, they say, we don't bother to ask them. They are older than we all, how can we ask them? At that time, only I was 14 to 15 years old.
besides gambling and the tea gardens, were there any other kind of entertainment that was being offered?
Oh yes, yes, they have the ronggeng, the Malay ronggeng, the Malay dance, and the Chinese opera also they do have, and the cinema, they have cinema there also, the Santokis Grand Theatre, and the Tai Tong restaurant is still there operating. They operate during the Japanese occupation, Tai Tong restaurant.
Who were the people who would be frequenting these places, the theatres and the seeing the operas and all that?
Operas, this opera, the Chinese opera is like, they have the Cantonese opera, there's one Cantonese opera. They play, you know, they act those old stories, you see. So, practically all the Ama people, you know, they are very quite old, about 40, 50 years old, elderly persons, and some of them old men also, quite old. They usually patronize there.
So the people that went to the park were people of all types?
All types. Chinese, Malays, Indians, all. They gamble there. They go and see pictures. Sometimes they go and see pictures. They may lose their money and they go and see pictures. That's the only way to pass the time there.
What about the women folks?
Women folks are very few because at night they don't go out. I notice it. Other than that, those like they used to operator takes the number. That younger ones, about 20 over years old. That one, they work with the boss, so the boss will escort them back home.
I mean, people who were. Not the people running the store.
The store. There are very few, because they don't intend to go at night. They are very scared of the Japanese.
Not only patronizing the gambling stores, but patronizing the others like the cinemas and all that.
Very little.
These people who came to the park to gamble or to go for a show and all that, who were they generally?
Working class people. Mm-hmm. Those are working class people, and those people who, if they really gamble, they don't go and see these pictures and all this. They really go for gambling, and those are the people who are black marketers. They really go.
What about the cinemas and the operas? Were they very popular also?
Oh, at that time, yes, it's quite cheap because they only play. Film all these Japanese films, then the opera, the acts is the old Chinese stories and all this, it's alright. And the Chinese Grand Theatre, they play only Chinese pictures. They play these, what called, they film these Cantonese pictures, Cantonese dialect. And the Santokhi, they film, there's English and Japanese.
Were there any Japanese guards in the New World?
No guards. There are nothing. Only thing, they have the New World, they have the own Bengali guards standing outside in the ticket collector.
Did any Japanese ever enter?
Once a while, yes. I notice it once a while. They come in, they look for somebody, maybe they wanted somebody else, you see. They went around and see wanted personnel, you see. They go through. But we don't have to run. If you do run, they mean they will come for you. So you just stand still and wait. And they look around and see, they have a picture within his hand, you see. They look around, and you just walk away. They don't come by one person. The Japanese guard will come at least about five or six persons. And the van will be waiting outside. There's a van there always. They come in, the van will be outside, and there will be two guards will be outside, stationed outside. And two guards will be two gates, you know. New World, they have two gates. One is the Jalan Besar gate, and one is the Serangoon Road gate. So they position their two guards there. Then if you do run, you got no chance to run away. So they just go around and see and look around and see whether any wanted personnel.
Did these Japanese ever participate in
taking part in? No, they don't. They are afraid because practically all Chinese or our nationality, other nationalities like Chinese, Malays, are practically all Chinese. Very few Malays and Eurasian, I think, very few. They do come.
Why would the Japanese be afraid to take part in the balloon?
Maybe they are afraid because they lose their things and all this. You see, they are afraid that maybe they are instructed not to come to that place.
What about the shows? Did they ever patronize the...
Shows, they don't come to that shows, the theatres there. They usually go to the big ones, the Capitol Theatre, Alhambra, and Mabra. We have the Mabra, Alhambra, Mabra. Next to, at present now is Jade, you know, Jade and Jade Theatre. And Shaw Towers there. Eh? Before it was Alhambra and Mabra.
Who were the people in charge of the place at what New World?
I think Ong Peng Hock. This one, the owner is Ong Peng Hock. Ong Peng Hock, is that? The owner is Ong Peng Hock of New World. And gradually after the war, they sold it to Shaw Brothers. After the war, Second World War, then they sold it to Shaw Brothers.
Did you ever see the people who were managing the place?
No. They have their office there, right outside in front of Jalan Besar, main gate there. They have an office there.
While you were working there, were there any kind of unpleasant incidents?
No. There is meant for you to enjoy yourself, you know, you can relax, sit down. You may go down and sit down, have a cup of tea. Usually they entertain you with tea or coffee. And then beer, maybe, you can get beer there also. And they have a restaurant there also, the Taitung restaurant, I tell you about it. Sometimes you can go dinner, the dinner is very expensive. And the Taitung restaurant usually produce the dumpling, you know, dumpling which they sell, one piece $10. After the dinner, after our work, we go and take the $10 from the boss, the owner of the gambling stall, and with that $10, I go there and buy one piece of dumpling and go home and eat. That's all. The one supper.
Normally, how many people would be there?
Oh, it depends. You see, if it's on Saturday night and Sunday, Saturday night will be more. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not much. That's why we must go there sometime. You see, Monday, Tuesday, we have to work hard because we have nobody come in, you know, gamble. So we have to stand there all the time. If it's on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, we don't have to stand there long. You see, the moment when the customer come and gamble, we just walk out, leave the space vacant, and they come and fill in that place. So we walk out and stand and look. It's better while you can look and see. That's all. If not, no customer comes in to gamble, so we have to stand there and fill up the space. If the board there, you see, in front of the board there, if it's vacant there, they look, oh, this one, nobody wants to come and gamble. So we got to fill up the space.
How long have you worked in this place?
Oh, about 6 to 8 months, I think. 6 to 8 months, at night only. Sometimes on and off, you see. Sometimes I don't feel like going, I don't go. If I'd like to go, then I just go, just report to myself there and say, you say, all right, you're on. I usually go with my friend, two of us.
You got this job after you left?
Yes, after I left.
The workshop at Ajumi Road?
Yeah.
And when did you move to... You mentioned that you worked in the workshop at Orchard Road.
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
That was coming to the end of the war. It's about eight months or so, I think. 8 months. It's 19, the after the war is 1945, right? 45. Then it's sometime 1944. Yes, 1944.
Got the job 8 months before the
Oh yeah,
the
8 months now. Yeah, I think in my card there, I think it's about that. I can't remember much, but anyhow, I think about that. I'm only employed as a timekeeper there.
Did you get this job immediately after you left?
I left the job there. Then I went and see whether any friends around there, and they say yes, there's one job for you. If you try and see approach to a Japanese officer, see whether they want to employ you. So I went there, and I went there and see the Japanese officer. Say good morning, say good morning. Then he said, yes, what can I do for you? He said in Japanese. So he said, I say I want a job. See, what job do you want? I say I can do, you know, timekeeping. See the men work in the workshop. See, and tell them what to do. Say yes, you can come in, sit down. So your pay is very low. I said, it's all right. As long as I get my ration, it's okay, he said. Immediately I start work. Then they give me the badge. They give me the armband and give me my card. From there onwards, he gave me a piece of paper. He draw up. He said, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He said, you just walk around every morning and from this end to the other end of the workshop. You see, that workshop is just, they call it Penang Road, I think, not Penang, maybe Penang Road, is it Penang Road? Just now, at present now, you see, Orchard Road is facing Orchard Road, his head office, the main office is facing Orchard Road, 43 Orchard Road. So now his back one is, the other back way is facing, at present now is Supreme, you know, Supreme. So is that road is called the Penang Road, yeah, Penang Road, that's right, Penang Road. So the back way is Penang Road. So from there, that stretch up, the workshop lines up straight up to there. From Orchard Road, this is the facing one, and the back is Penang Road. So we walk from here, we'll see, ask him, or you know, lot by lot, the cars can back in nicely, you know, one by one. You can repair about nearly 40 cars, you know. They have a store there, store of motor car spare parts, lorry spare parts, and a store for batteries, tires, and upstairs, on top of the office there, there are four stories. They are all full of spare parts, all the lorry spare parts.
Did you get this job immediately after you
left
your job?
Yeah, I left my job. That's right.
Did it take a few months before you could get a job?
No, the jobs are easy to get. Straight away you can get it. It's you to go for it. They don't publish in the paper like now, you see. They have the job there waiting for you to go. You just apply. Actually, I wanted to go in as a mechanic inside there, but you see, I'm too young, so you see, you might as well take down note. You see, that's where I learned with them, you see. Mechanics, you see, I say what you repair today, what car number. Then the next one, the cushion maker, I went see a cushion maker. The cushion maker will say, I repair this cushion, I repair this. Then the painter, I went and see the painter. The painter say, I do the repair, paint up this, touch up this car, what number, this number. So I go down to the wireman side, I got to go and see the wireman. They see, oh, repairing all this, the motor and all this. They got to go through everyone.
When you went to see the Japanese, what kind of rank was he holding? The Japanese.
Oh, he's rank about. He's a blue flag. He's a blue flag. His name is Suzuki. His name is Suzuki. I still can remember. His name is Suzuki.
How did you know that he is a blue flag?
Oh yes, he used to come in with his car, with the blue flag.
What
he's,
about the uniform that he wear?
He wears a white one, navy, white. They call it a captain, he's a captain, right?
Why did you want to take up this job at Orchard Road?
Oh yes, it's very near to my place, and you know, I think the rations more than that side, than they are the original road. Because original road, they only pay you 16 kgs of rice as all, and soybeans. But this side, Orchard Road one, they give you 16 kgs of rice, plus every week they give you 20 to 25 kgs of sweet potatoes or tapioca. More. So, and plus lunch, they give you something like such as, lunch, sometimes they don't give, you see, fried potatoes or steamed potatoes, and then they give it to you.
You mentioned that the work of this factory is to repair cars and lorries.
At present moment, they call it the second carriage. Mm-hmm. At present moment, but now it's no more. You know, it's already demolished. Eh? Second carriage, yes, right.
So, where did they get this? Whose cars and lorries?
All cars belongs to the officers. All the officers' cars, they don't send it out for repair, they bring it down for repair here. They supply them with the cars, and the cars are all repaired by them here for their own personal officers only.
Which officers?
The naval officers. All the naval officers.
Cars. Only naval, what about the army and the air force?
No, they don't. They have the naval officers only. All belongs to naval officers only. They have the rover, they have rovers and Prima, and they have Mercedes there, and Buke, they have Buke there also, Buke cars, and Austin, Maurice, quite a lot, and lorries also, they have to repair lorries, because the Japanese naval base, sometimes their lorries, they got to bring it down for repair some down here.
These cars and lorries, were they used for military purposes or merely for transportation purposes within Singapore?
Oh yes, for private purposes only. Especially the lorries, they do it up there. You see, they repaired it in our workshop. So they try run, they use it, they used to go up to Labis, Johor, to buy up potatoes, sweet potatoes and tapioca. They bring it down every week. Then they sell it to us at a very cheap price.
So it's not for
for what purposes? The cars are all belongs to the officers. They supply them, you see. They are afraid that they send down to any other part. They don't have any other workshops except only their own.
Where did they get these cars for their officers?
I don't know how they get it. Usually, they confiscate from the British officers and all this. Eh?
As a timekeeper, you just went out to take down the...
You just first early morning, you will mark down who will be present. Then you just, after that, you come back and report to the officer, Mr. Suzuki. These are the people who attended now in attendance. The others all didn't come in. He said, okay, I'll take a note down, then he'll write down. Then in the you say, see what he's up to, I give him all the jobs already, but you write down, so you have to follow up and see whether he's right. Then in the afternoon, about 2 to 2:30, I go around again, ask him, what job you do, how many hours. That's why usually the spray painter, also they have their work. And then the cushion maker also, they have their own work. And then the fitters also.
Yeah. So Mr. Suzuki would be the one to tell you what kind of work he has given to the people.
Yeah.
And all you have to do was
is to see them, check them whether they do the, they carry out their orders or not, his orders.
And you have to write that down on
a piece of paper. Every day you will hand it over to him, and he'll keep it.
End of the working day.
Yeah, no, the working day. You just give it to him.